Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother David Love just a few moments ago. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Isn't it a wonderful blessing to be able to assemble together with the saints on such a beautiful autumn day as this? You know, the sun is shining bright. The temperature is nice, and you are looking great. And we thank God for allowing us to be here. I want to talk to you this morning about one in Christ. One in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, Paul says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Now we invite you to consider James' treatise on partiality in James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. There James says, that's James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Tyrone Edwards has well said, "He that is possessed with a prejudice is possessed with a devil." And one of the worst kinds of devils, for prejudice shuts out the truth and often leads to ruinous error. Prejudice or partiality is certainly dangerous and counterproductive. It does shut the truth out from men. When we think of all of the injustices wrought through prejudice, that is partiality, how sweet and reassuring are the words of Jesus, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me." John chapter 17 and verse 21. You see, there exists a beautiful and harmonious unity between the Father and his beloved Son, Jesus. They are one. Christ prayed that in him we might have that same kind of unity, that we might have that same kind of oneness that characterized him and the Father. As we think about prejudice, we emphasize that prejudice comes in so many shapes and colors, and in a wide variety of disguises. It makes truth so hard to recognize that denominations are established by it and breed on it. Class struggles evolve from it, and racial barriers are created by it. As we think about one in Christ in our lesson today, we want to focus first of all on the fact that there is one spiritual race in Christ. There is one spiritual race in Christ. Favoring one person or group of persons more than another because of the color of their skin or the texture of their skin is called racial prejudice. This kind of display is not pleasing in the eyes of God. In Christ, all racial barriers must be dissolved. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither black nor white. There is neither red nor yellow. There is one spiritual race in Christ. When this point was finally and forcefully driven home to Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, at the household of Cornelius, he was driven to exclaim, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Jesus had earlier penetrated the barrier between Jew and Samaritan in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And in his death, Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile to make both one. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. There is but one spiritual race in Christ. What spiritual race is it? Spiritual Israel. Paul pointed out to the Romans that the true children of God are of the promise and not of the flesh. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. This is also clearly attested to in Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Paul says in this passage, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Just one spiritual race, and that is spiritual Israel. No other race is recognized by God except spiritual Israel. So if you are in Christ, you are part of spiritual Israel. If you are in Christ, you are a Jew. Now, not in the sense that Sammy Davis was a Jew, but you are a Jew in Christ. Y'all might not have known that Christians are Jews, and Christians are the only Jews that really count with God. Look real quick at Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Paul says, "For he is not a Jew, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly." This is Romans chapter 2, verse 28. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Notice, "but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So the Christian in reality is a Jew. inwardly because he has experienced spiritual circumcision. And you know when that spiritual circumcision takes place? It takes place in the process of the new birth. When one is baptized into Christ, in a spiritual sense, he is circumcised, and by virtue of that, he becomes a spiritual Jew. He is cut off from the body of sin, and he arises to walk in the newness of life. Look at Colossians chapter 2 right quick. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In whom also, Colossians 2, verse 11, in whom also, speaking of Christ, in Christ also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that is, made alive together with him, that is, Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, under the Old Testament law with physical circumcision, circumcision was limited to the males, to the boys. But in Christ, on a much higher level, everyone in Christ, as a part of spiritual Israel, as a spiritual Jew, has been circumcised in the process of being baptized. From a fleshly standpoint, and we're still emphasizing the one spiritual race, all men are from one blood. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. From a spiritual consideration, all in Christ are one family of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And all who are led by the word of God are his children. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And I mentioned that God has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. In a larger sense, God has made of one blood all those who are in Christ, who are spiritual Israel, who are spiritual Jews. All of us are connected by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every Christian has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have a spiritual connection. And we are all the children of God. All of us being brothers and sisters in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, are to be reconciled to God in one body. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. Thus they are heirs in the same body. Ephesians 3 and verse 6. Notice that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body or the same church and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It doesn't make any difference what nationality, race, or color one is. Christ, by his unprejudiced blood, has redeemed all men. This is why we read in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. One spiritual race in Christ. But not only is that so, we also must come to a clear recognition of and an appreciation of the fact that in Christ there is one class in Christ, Christians. Almost everyone, especially these days in our economic times, almost everyone has an interest in politics and economics. Economic partiality tends toward class struggles. The rich and the powerful begin to despise the poor and the weak, and vice versa. To discriminate against a person because he is weak or poor, or because he is rich and powerful, is to show partiality of the most damning type. I want you to notice carefully James chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. James chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Notice. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Have God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? What has happened when men are destined to be at each other's throats? They are looking at the wrong things: clothes, houses, positions, popularity, money, all of these things instead of humanity. But we're all human beings, both you and your neighbor. And we all have equal footing in the sight of God. When you love your neighbor as yourself, in keeping with James chapter 2 and verse number 8, you cannot express partiality against him. In Christ, all ought to be one. We see numerous examples of the unity on an economic level sustained by the early church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, the Bible says that the early church had all things common. Being in Christ makes all the difference. You see, Christianity reshapes the character of a person without changing his natural appearance or his material worth. It takes men from all parties and all economies and places them on the same level. One is rich, another is poor, but both are become the same class of persons in Christ Jesus. No more, no less simple Christians. Indeed, the ground is level at the cross of Christ. Only in the church for which Jesus died can such an amazing transformation occur. You see, in the church of our Lord, there are no big I's and little U's. There is no distinction between the rich and the poor, because all of us are in the same family and all of us belong to the same class. Being children of God is not based upon economic well-being, nor is it based upon economic necessity. It is based upon faith in Christ Jesus and baptism in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. The rich, the poor, the weak, and the strong are his. Christ died for all, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. It matters not the rank in life. You see, if salvation will make men equal with the angels, and it will, surely it will produce equality in the body of Christ among Christians. There's only one class in Christ, Christians. And just as there's only one class in Christ, spiritual Israel, one race in Christ, one class in Christ, there is likewise one church in Christ. The world of religion is highly affected by a base attitude of partiality, of prejudice. And Satan is very skillful in using the undesirable traits of men to keep them away from the truth. One such device is seen in his efforts to denominationalize men, that is, to prejudice the thinking of men in religion. Denominations exist on different pretenses, on the basis of such matters as what they teach, what activities they allow and disallow in their ranks, who they honor, by whom they were founded, their system of leadership and the organizational structure. These different foundations of denominationalism work to keep men divided religiously. However, Christ wants us to be united, not divided. That's why he made the passionate plea to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Reference was made to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, where we should be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, again, Jesus prayed to his Father, saying, "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking of the disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also may be one, that they all rather may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me." From an examination of the scriptures, we must determine that neither denominations nor the partiality on which they breed are right and acceptable in God's sight. And we must also recognize that you can be saved without being in any denomination. Christ's church is non-denominational. It is not inter-denominational. It is not a denomination in any sense of the word. Prejudicial divisions of denominationalism are phony. Christ has only one church. He only promised to build one. Matthew 16 and verse 18. The church is his body. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence or the first place of honor. Included in our lesson this morning in the adult class was Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 on down through 22. But looking at 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under his feet," speaking of Christ, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." There